So the coffee hour, I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, July 9th. Back in studio in person.
Yeah.
Glad to be here. You had a packed studio on Friday.
I did.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I had to pull an extra chair. We ran out of mics. It was great.
And like half the football team in here.
I know. Well,
not really.
Not really.
There's just a few, but great.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Always love having students from Lutheran South and Lutheran North high schools here in the area to tell their story, and they did some neat stuff with Humanitry.
They did.
Yeah, thanks for holding down the fort while I was gone too. Doing a fantastic job. We have a great story to share today. Two great stories to share today. One of our regular guests on Sharper Iron, who was just on with Pastor Fisk, get to dig in a little bit more to his vocation and his story here in just a moment. And thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. I didn't ask what's in the coffee cup this Monday morning.
Jamaican. It's my favorite.
And I hear there's some new coffee making its way into the studio probably this week, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. From our local in-house roaster?
Yes, exactly.
Literally?
Not me. Yeah. But yeah,
we should just like get a roaster for the studio.
That would smell nice.
That would be really fun.
Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. John Bombaro. He's senior pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in San Diego, California, and taking on a new venture as well. Pastor Bombaro, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
You are a busy man and making a bit of a transition for those who you know, got the spoiler during Sharper Iron this morning, sharing about some of the changes in a new vocational path for you as well. But let's talk about, before we get into your service as a chaplain, let's talk about what led up to your service as pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in San Diego.
I was doing schooling in Cambridge, England. I was finishing up a PhD there, and my wife and I, we had been in the Reformed tradition at the time. We had gone into the local Reformed church there. It'll remain nameless. And after that service, we were out on locking our bikes and getting ready to cycle home, and my wife broke down crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, you know, I'm done being a Christian. There's no good news for being a Christian, for Christians. And she said, it's all law. You know, I thought we were saved by the gospel, but, you know, no sanctification is happening by the law. And my response was, so I'm so glad to hear you say that. I've been faking it for a long time, too. And so a couple of weeks went by, and we realized, you know, we missed Jesus. We just didn't know where to find him. And we looked in the yellow pages. There were still yellow pages in those days. And we found that there was a Lutheran church just a block from our house, our apartment where we were staying there. And we went, and on the door it said the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, which is a sister synod of ours in the LCMS. And I went in, and I had some questions, and there are, you know, these priestly guys putting on their robes, and I just asked them, you know, how evangelical are you? And it was actually Tom Winger, who's the president of Concordia Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario. He simply said, just what, you know, we heard, you know, spoken to Nathaniel, and that was, come and see. And so we did. We went there, and we heard God's word, his gracious word, to his people. They were reminded of their baptism, and then they communed in an intimate setting with our Lord. And we walked out and we said, that's the gospel. That's what the Lord wants to speak to his people. And that began our conversion to Lutheranism. I went off and taught at Dickinson College and Messiah College in Pennsylvania, and it was there that we sensed the call to holy orders. Went back to seminary, and the next thing you know, I planted a church on the island of Kauai, St. Matthew's, which is still there in Koloa and thriving, good ministry happening there, and then received my first call to Grace Lutheran Church, which was a nearly defunct parish in uptown San Diego. And over the last 11 years, Holy Spirit has surprised us. over and over again by seeing that congregation revive and thrive in the midst of the homosexual community there in San Diego. And all that through the preaching of God's word, the teaching of his holy sacraments, and our devotion to the liturgy.
Now, you're also involved in the Navy Reserves as a chaplain. What was the path that got you into the Navy Reserves?
Well, I was a Marine right out of high school, and that's what provided for my my college education. So I've always had this sense of debt to the U.S. military, and particularly to the Marine Corps, for giving me my life. I came from a family that didn't really have any means to provide for a college education, and the Marine Corps did that. Moving to San Diego, which is the largest naval base in the world, with four Marine Corps bases all around it, Camp Pendleton, MCRD, Miramar, et cetera, I kind of felt like a fish out of water, having been in the military and now being ensconced in a deeply military community. And, you know, after a few years there in San Diego, I felt like this was my opportunity to give back and to do so within the Chaplain Corps of the Navy, which services not only the United States Navy, but the Marine Corps and the Coast Guard. And that was, I guess, about 7.5 years ago. And since then, it's been a wonderful ride.
So what's the next step now as a chaplain for you?
For the next step, it will be programs manager and policy writer at the Pentagon for, it looks like, a couple of years. And, you know, the contact with, the boots on the ground, the Marines in the field, that sort of thing, that's going to be put on pause for a little bit to take care of some administrative things. But those things, too, are necessary to keep our chaplain corps going and to sharpen the point of our relevancy for the military. See, it's not just, prayers and services that we do. That's actually kind of a small part. You know, we have a number of core functions. One is to ensure that the First Amendment rights of all of our members and their families are being upheld. Counseling is an enormous part of what we do as well, along with advising the command on issues of ethics and morale.
What are you looking forward to most about serving in this way?
It sounds kind of funny, and it's really heightened my appreciation for all pastors who make a sacrifice of their own family. And that's to say, the thing I'm looking forward to most is actually communing with my family and being in the pew with them for a couple of years and being enriched by God's word rather than owning the responsibility on a daily and weekly basis of providing it for a congregation. Although I'm going to miss the good people at Grace Lutheran Church enormously.
You mentioned a few of the things, or a lot of the things that the chaplains are able to do for our active military. And I heard when I've been board hopping for Sharp or Iron a few times, I've heard some of your stories of what you're able to do. But what are you able to do, or what were you doing with the Naval Reserves in San Diego with the troops?
Yeah. Well, presently I'm in Idaho. I'm going joint air base right now with the 4th Tank Battalion, Charlie Company, and basically spending my day doing counseling for Marines, to helping them with issues. So when we have a military member, we look at them holistically in the military, and that is they need to be ready for combat deployment at any moment. But that includes emotional and spiritual readiness, and that's where the Chaplain Corps is very serviceable. We also don't, in the times of preparation, want our Marines tweaking or turning wrenches on an F-35 or on an A-1 Abrams tank. So their mental and spiritual health is very much an important component of the readiness of a Marine for combat. And so, yeah, out here, doing counseling, led divine services last night in the Ministry of the Word. Bible study also takes place, so there's plenty of opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel. But also I sit on the Force Preservation Board or Council, which we talk about each of the Marines, about the needs in their lives, the challenges and struggles that they're going through. So there's a very deep investment in the care of each Marine and sailor, and the Army and Air Force provide this as well, so that we have optimal readiness for our military members. And so that's what I'm doing.
We have just about 2 minutes left. How about your family making this transition as well? Tell us about that process.
It's been challenging, and it's been met with a lot of tears. You know, after 11 and a half years in a parish, and we live in the rectory, the parsonage, right at Grace Lutheran Church on Park Boulevard in San Diego. It's been the only home that my children have known. It's been a place of much joy and merriment, a place where God's grace has been poured into our lives in deep and profound ways. So, yeah, there's some separation anxiety and trauma going on. But my wife has reported, I've been away from her for about 5 weeks now, traveling with the military, that the kids seem to have turned a corner and are looking forward to an adventure. And I have to say that some of this is the result of the goodness of Grace Lutheran Church that allowed me a 10-year sabbatical. We went to Europe for those 6 months, and our kids had a taste of adventure. They had a taste of doing something new, and I think that's being revived to one degree or another. More than that, they're of strong faith. They know that wherever we go, that the Lord is going with us and that he goes before us. So the family's on board. We're confident in this. But I think maybe for my daughter, Marie, the one thing that she doesn't want to see is her dad stop being a pastor in the church. So that'll be the goal once her time is done in D.C.
Well, blessings on your new position and your new service and your transition as well. We're praying for you and the fine folks of Grace Lutheran Church in San Diego. Pastor Bombaro, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, good morning to you and yours.
Well, coming up in just a little bit, we had a chance recently to sit down with Donna Pyle, author, and she has written some Bible studies, some video Bible studies.
Yes, she has.
That are going to be available from LWML and mm-hmm. CPH. So we'll talk about those in just a little bit with Donna Pyle and share more about those Bible studies. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.